I'm going to be speaking on three words from the last paragraph of this chapter. And just by way of review, here we have a breakfast with Christ. And, you know, keep in mind the big picture, the setting. You know, Lord, what would you have to say to us after your powerful resurrection? What would you have to say it to us after your sweet visit into paradise? What would you have to say to us after the mighty work that you accomplished on the cross? What would you have to say to us after you finished your work? The work that the Father gave you to do, the words that the Father gave you to speak, what would you have to say to us now that it's all over? You know, sometimes somebody comes out, maybe he's lost in a cave or something, and they want to interview him. Or they came out of some close call and they want to interview him. Or the fellow is the most valuable player in the Super Bowl, and so they want to interview him. You know, to give us some words. Surely you've got something to say. You are right in there. And so they want to hear some words from them. And so, you know, Lord Jesus, what would you have to say to us after your resurrection? Here at the last, what would you have to say? And so there's three things in this post-resurrection appearance. You know, one was this, you know, this business that happened when they went fishing. And the message there was, I mean, in the providence of God, this is what the Lord had to say to them. You do not have any fish, do you? reminding us of our insufficiency. That the Lord speaks to us, yes, just like with them, over and over again, of our insufficiency and also of His sufficiency. Cast the net on the right side and you'll find the fish. And so we ought to be mindful of the little providences, you know, and just the other day, Clint was over and we were talking, and he was saying that he was reading or wanted to read or something like that, this book by Spurgeon, Sermons from the Farm. And I thought, you know, that sounds like a book I'd like to have and read. And you know, 2 days later, Bethany sent that book to me in the mail.
Can I borrow it when you
want? Oh. And in that same thing, that's that same incident, you know, the Lord wraps it up by saying, come and have breakfast. So, what's breakfast for? What's a meal for but fellowship? Lord, what would you have to say to us? Our insufficiency, His sufficiency, and His desire for fellowship with us. What's a meal for but fellowship? The Lord's Supper, the Lord's meal, what's it for? It's an opportunity for those in fellowship with Christ to have fellowship with one another. Come and have breakfast. I want to talk with you. I want to hear what you've got to say. I want to talk with you. And then the second is right after breakfast. Verse 15, when they had finished breakfast, the Lord spoke to them about loving service. Do you love me? Well, if you do, then take care of my sheep. Of course, as I said, this primarily, especially applies to pastors, but all to all, each one of us. It's an exhortation to try to help one another out, increasing their joy, increasing their faith, promoting their success, alleviating their sorrow, their grief, or their affliction, or whatever. If you love me, then here's what you can do. And then this last paragraph, we'll be looking at that again, and enlarging on these three words, you follow me. Verse 22, you follow me. Verse 19, follow me. What would you have to say, Lord? I'm telling you, follow me. Day by day, His sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. And so let's just take it kind of word by word. And the first word is you. I'm looking at the phrase in verse 22, you follow me. The first word is you. And so we're reminded that it's a personal call. You follow me, a personal call. When the Lord came, when the Lord found Peter, what did he say? You follow me. And Andrew, follow me. And James and John, the Lord called them, and they left everything, rose up, and followed him. When the Lord came to Philip, the Lord said, follow me. To Matthew, the tax gatherer, follow me. And to Peter again, at the end of the book, follow me. It's a repeated call, a repeated charge, a repeated challenge from the Lord to follow him. And a personal call, you follow me, you do it. When the Lord came to the rich young ruler, he came to the Lord, rather. What did the Lord say? Follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. He didn't do it. And to a disciple, you know, the disciple said, well, I've got this and this consideration. The Lord said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. And to a scribe, he got the message, I'll follow you wherever you go. And the Lord said to him, well, you better count the cost. And so this is a familiar call, isn't it? A very personal call. You follow me. What will I do? I mean, the Lord is saying to each one of us sitting here right today, you follow me. Don't worry about the world and what they're doing. You follow me. You know, Peter says in verse 21, what shall this man do? And the Lord said, you follow me. And so there's all this distraction from the world with all of its glamour, with all of its glitter, with all of its call, with all of its games, with all of its toys, with all of its lusts, trying to call us aside. But again, the word comes from the Lord. What's that to you? You follow me. And of course, especially the thing that Peter brought up, what about this man? Well, Lord, what about this man, verse 21? Even other Christians, even other good men, like the Apostle John in this case, was in danger of being a distraction to this man, Peter. It's good to read those biographies, those autobiographies, isn't it? I mean, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So it's good to read about what other men and see how they walked with God, how they followed the Lord. But we dare not take it so far that it's a distraction to us and a bondage to us. Ultimately, it's what is God asking me to do? How can I follow him? And so it comes back to a very personal call. And so we got to forget about, you know, what the Lord would have for this brother, that brother, his family, his situation, his estate, his whatever. You know, again, it comes right back to me and the Lord. What does he want me to do? You follow me. The second word is follow. And it's one of those simple words where you can hardly define it. You know, it gets more complicated if you try to define it. Everybody knows what follow means. The cart follows the horse, and the sheep follow the shepherd. It means to go behind, to follow after, to look unto. And so you follow me. Again, as I mentioned last time, the Raymond said, but how do we know where the Lord is going? And you know, the reason he said that was because he was thinking in terms of geography and location and something physical, something external. And it may be that, you know, go up and join yourself to this chariot. But in general, what it's talking about is not the physical, but rather the spiritual, the moral, the ethical. Follow him in conformity to him, a spiritual likeness to him. Follow him that way. Follow him inwardly. Follow me that way. In 1 Peter 2:21, it says, the Lord left us for an example that we should follow in his steps. And, you know, it's talking about suffering. And so, again, it has to do with inward, spiritual, moral, ethical considerations mainly. And now the third word, me. You follow me. It's a call to follow a person, isn't it? Christianity is not, it's not some philosophy that we are called to follow. It's not just, in a way of saying it's not following some rules, some laws, some principles, some precepts, although that, of course, is involved. I mean, we've got a Bible, which is a description of the invisible God, but it's ultimately we're following a person, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. We're following a person. Sometimes we're called to pursue or follow virtues. I mean, like in one place it says, follow peace with all men. Another place, follow love. In another place, ever follow that which is good. In another place, it says, follow righteousness. In another place, follow holiness. And so, you know, there is that. But ultimately, we're called to follow the Lord himself. And when we do follow him, why, he imparts those virtues, those communicable attributes. So we're called to follow a person. Christianity is following Christ. That's mere Christianity, is following him. Sometimes we describe it that way, you know, without even thinking about it. So-and-so, he's following the Lord. So-and-so, he's not following the Lord. It's definitive. It's simple. It's mere Christianity that we want to be thought of, don't you, as a follower of Christ. And so the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those who come unto me, I will never cast out. As many as received him, it's a person. And we center our lives around him. These two simple words really are the standard of New Testament, of the New Testament holiness. These two simple words are, in a way, a summary of the whole Bible. In a way, a summary of the whole Bible. I mean, it's summed up in other ways, like you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, verses like that. But in another way, it could be summed up right here in these two words, follow me. A comprehensive statement of the Bible could be right here in these two words, follow me. If we've got the Lord, we've got everything. If we don't have him, we don't have anything. It's so wonderful that the Lord has set it up that way, you know? It's not like, you know, like all other world religions, you follow these precepts, you follow this eightfold path and all of the, you know, that type of thing. But here the Lord just says, fix your eyes on me, follow me. And you know, you've been on a trip maybe and you're lost, you don't know the way to get there, you know you're close or something, and you stop at the filling station and you say, hey, are you from this area? Yeah. And I'm looking for such and such place. Can you tell me how to get there? Well, he said, just follow me. I live down there. Just follow me. I'll take you right to it. And it's just such a relief. You know, you don't have to write down any directions or anything. No perplexity. Just keep your eyes on that fellow and you'll get there. And so we're called to follow this person, and not only that, but such a worthy person. I mean, they're not called to follow some drifter, but rather the Son of God who came down from heaven and accomplished redemption and went back to heaven. Not some deceiver, but rather the great, the good, the chief shepherd of the sheep. We're called to follow none other than the Son of God himself, a man, a perfect man. Not a fallible man, but an infallible one, the God-man himself. Follow me, he says, so very worthy, not one among many, but the one who has the light of life. Follow me. I am the light of the world. Follow me. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I was thinking about that on the way to Chris and Angela's last night. The light of life. You know, there's other lights. They've got the light to go to this place or that place. But here the Lord has the light of life. He who follows me, an infallible guide. I read on the internet the other day in some news clip that there was a snowstorm up in Oregon, and three families got GPS led them astray. And they got stuck in a snowstorm and almost died. They were following GPS. Oh, we have an infallible guide, a great good chief shepherd. And so, you think of obedience. Jesus said, just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, so you also shall keep his commandments and abide in his love. You just think about it. You think, Lord, how did you do it? How did you manage? What was your attitude? And so, you pattern your life after Christ. And in the matter of service, the Lord he got down and washed the disciples' feet. And what did he say? I've given you an example that you might do to one another as I'm doing to you. Have you ever seen a king like that? Any king? Have you ever heard of any king get down and wash the subject's feet? We're talking about the King of Kings getting down and washing his disciples' feet. And so he says, I'm giving you an example that you might do. Follow me. And in love, just as I have loved, I give you a new commandment that you love one another just as I have loved you. You want to know how to love? You look to the Lord. See how he loved. It says in Ephesians 5 that we should love one another just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God. What a call. What an example that he left us. What an example that he left us to follow. In the matter of forgiveness, think how he forgave us. We might have some grudge against somebody, and then we ought to turn on ourselves and say, look, you vile twerp, God has forgiven you a multi-million dollar debt, and you can't forgive somebody of a 20-cent debt, your brother? We look to the Lord as an example in these things. How about giving? Paul in 2 Corinthians 8, he gives the example of the Macedonians to the Corinthians. But then he gives the example of the Master, how he gave. Though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. He gives the example of Christ and how he gave. And so we follow him. We look to him. How did he do it? Follow me, are these words. How about humility? You might think of Moses, how he was the most humble man, the most meek man on the face of the earth. But do you think of him as a model? Not primarily, do you? You think of Christ. How the Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this attitude be in you, which was in Christ. What was his attitude? What was his mind? Although he was equal with God the Father, yet he laid aside that glory. He esteemed others more important than himself. He looked out for others' interests rather than himself, than his own mainly. And so what an example the Lord has left us in this matter of humility and suffering. That's 1 Peter chapter 2. It says that he left us an example that we should follow in his steps. And he says, to this you were called, for Christ suffered for us. He suffered unrighteously, unjustly, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. We feel it's not right that I should be treated like that. It's not right. That's unjust. And then you think of Christ. Look how did he handle it? He left us an example. And it says, as a sheep led to the slaughter, he didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and he didn't open his mouth, didn't revile again. And so the Lord has left us a powerful example of suffering. Sometimes we get to thinking, why am I suffering like this? Why should I be treated this way? And Peter says, you were called for this. You've been called for it. Here we fight against the very thing we've been called to. You were called for this, for Christ also suffered for you, leaving an example for you to follow in his steps. To follow in his steps. And that poem that Amy Carmichael wrote, as the servant shall the master be, and pierced are the feet that follow me. Have you no wound or scar? He cannot have followed far who has no wound or scar. So these words, follow me. We're following a person. We're following a worthy person. And we're following such a worthy example that he left us. I mean, the Lord calls us to follow him and participate. You know, Paul says, oh, that I might know him, the power of the resurrection, and the what? The fellowship of his sufferings, conformed to his death. And that's the fourth point. First was you, and the second was follow, and the third was me, and the fourth point is that if you're going to follow Christ, it will mean death. I mean, that was even the context that this was spoken of in verse 19. Now this he said, signifying what by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he spoke in this, he said to Peter, follow me. You know, if you're going to follow the Lord, listen, if anybody is going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it will mean death. Maybe not a physical death like it's talking here to Peter, but it will mean death to the old man. Death to sin, death to self, and all to Christ. If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, turn his back on himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. You can't follow two leaders. It's either Christ or self. You cannot follow two. And so the Lord says, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily. What was the cross? It was the place where the old criminal was executed, put to death. And so, take up his cross daily and follow me. It'll mean death. Death to self, goodbye to self. When they went to the cross, it was goodbye to the world, it was goodbye to family, it was goodbye to friends, and it was goodbye to yourself. You were dying. That's what happened on the cross. And so the Lord says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. And if you're going to follow the Lord, it will mean suffering. To follow in his steps, I've already mentioned 1 Peter chapter 2. It says in Mark chapter 10 that I need to read it. Mark 10 verse 31. Okay, yes, as they were going up to Jerusalem, in Mark 10:32 it is, I won't read it, but they were going up to Jerusalem, and the Lord had been speaking about his sufferings that he would enter into there, and it says they became fearful. They became fearful. Why did they become fearful as they were following him? Why did they become fearful? Well, because he was speaking to them about their sufferings that the Lord was entering into. I read some time ago about one of the Anabaptists, and he was being chased, he was being persecuted. It was in the winter time, and he was out in front of them, running on foot away from his persecutors, and he crossed a river and made it through, and he looked back, and his persecutors, the first one in the line, fell through the ice. And apparently the others were a ways behind, and he knew that if he knew that guy was going to die unless he turned back and saved him. But he knew that if he turned back and saved him, he would likely get caught and die. And that's exactly what happened. He turned back and rescued that fellow. They caught him and killed him. It means death. Death to self, death to all your comforts and pleasantries. There are afflictions in following Christ, and it means death really to everything. Everything. That's where the Lord called the rich young ruler to give up everything. He wouldn't do it. Peter, he says, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. He got the message. There are so many other things to follow. It says in one place in the Psalms, they who follow wickedness. In 2 Peter, it says, speaks of following sensuality. In another place, it says they followed vanity, 2 Kings 17. In another place, it says they followed other gods. Although, in many places in the Old Testament, it says that. In another place, the Lord spoke of following strangers. So many other things to follow. But we're called to give up everything and follow Him. He who does not take up his cross is not worthy of me. Take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. There was a fellow there in Luke 9, and he says, I'll follow you, but first let me do this and that. I will follow you, but first. If there's any but first, you aren't going to make it. The Lord answered and said, you're not fit for the kingdom. Any idea, first, let me get my degree. First, let me get my job. First, my wife. First, my children. First, my family. He says, you're not fit for the kingdom. Number five, this call to follow the Lord, it comes to us again and again. Look at this with Peter. You know, he heard it in verse 19, and then he heard it again in verse 22. The same words that he heard in the beginning of his life. Follow me. And so the Lord comes to us again and again with those words, follow me. Abraham repeatedly had meetings with God and further consecration. How come these words came to Peter again and again? Well, the first time that we hear the Lord's words, follow me, well, maybe we don't get it full force. We don't get it like we ought to. It only goes so deep. And as we go on with God, we realize more of who He is and more of what He requires, more of His ways, more of His desirability. And those words come to us again, follow me. And so, you know, the first time we just don't get it the way we ought. And furthermore, the danger of drifting. I mean, that's what Peter was doing. He says he was following the Lord, but he was following Him at a distance. Solomon, it says he was not following the Lord fully. And so we tend to drift, we tend to stray, and so the Lord comes to us again and puts His finger on this spot or that and says, follow me. What we have here in closing is a heaven or hell issue. It's a matter of Christian, non-Christian. To say to the Lord, I will not follow you, is an insult. I mean, here somebody comes and says, yeah, I know the way, I'll lead you there. And we say, no thanks. It is an insult to that person. How much more to Christ? And so the Lord says, he who follows me will not walk in darkness. Everyone else who is not following him is walking in darkness. Here you are in a cave and you're lost. Only one person's got the flashlight. You better follow him or you aren't going to make it. It's a Christian, non-Christian issue. You know, for the non-Christian, really he has just one main business in life. And that is to find and follow Christ. Like Gary says over and over, if you have Christ, you have everything. If you don't, you have nothing. That is the priority in life, is to find and follow Christ. Everything else then will fall in its place, will fall in order. Why delay? Why delay? Why put it off? Why mess? Why let the locusts of sin eat on your soul? Why let the leprosy of sin rot your soul? Why fiddle around? Why waste the time of our life in games that the world has to offer? Rise up. Like Matthew, I like the way Matthew says, you know, the Lord said, follow me, and it says he immediately rose up, left everything behind, and followed the Lord in the way. For the Christian, it's a challenge. It's a challenging call, but it's also a comforting call. I mean, a comforting call in this way. We're following the Lord. He's ahead of us. and there's nothing new that's going to come to us that he hasn't gone through. We have a great high priest who is able to sympathize because he's been through it all. It's an encouragement. It's like a captain leading the charge, you know. He's going out ahead. He was going on before. So it's a great comfort and a great encouragement and a great security. I mean, the shepherd's nearness is the safety of the sheep. And so he calls us to follow him in that confidence, in that comfort, in that security, in that compassion. Think of the promises. Shall not walk in darkness. Think of the promise that we've been predestined to be conformed to the Son of God as we follow him in the way. Daily, 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 he is doing that. So we need to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He who follows me in the regeneration, in other words, in the new heavens and the new earth, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you'll sit on thrones with me.